Tonight we hear from Johnny Gargano. We got Rhea Ripley versus Shayna Baszler. We got Angel Garza versus the Bruiserweight. A whole bunch of stuff and more. NXT After Show starts right now.
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
Already hype, man. I swear before everything that is sacred in this world, I love this chat. Welcome everybody to the NXT AfterBuzz After Show. This is my last show, but listen, don't fret. I got a whole bunch of fire supporting me, man. Literally, man, I don't do anything but talk, man. All up in the catbird seat right
catbird
here.
Seat.
Man, listen, this is what I call this, man. Damn the catbird seat. This is like Boardwalk and Monopoly right here. This place right here, I want everybody to know that everyone's get anywhere. This is prime real estate, man. Anybody sitting in this seat, this Boardwalk, you need to treat this like Boardwalk. Anything about nobody Monopoly, as soon as you get a chance, you land on that Boardwalk, you buy it. You set up the hotels, you set up the properties, and you make people pay rent. You get in this seat, man, and you just take it away. Flobo will be in this seat after me. I think he's the best man for the job.
Well, thank you.
I think he's the best man in the building.
Oh, come on.
I do.
Oh, thank you.
I do. So, with that being said, Evan T. Mac here, a.k.a. Coco Cena, but I am not alone. I got my man to the far left. He's new, but I feel like I've known him forever. Listen, man, y'all know the deal, man. Coiffed hair. Chiseled jaw. He shaved a 445 shadow. He's at like 232 right now. It's growing back real quick.
Digital beard?
Yeah. Sharecropping. Jack Farmer, what's good, boy?
It takes me a good 2 weeks to get to a 5 o'clock.
Oh,
so
yeah.
It'll be a minute. But man, another good show. I'm excited to be here. I'm excited to be here for the final Evan show.
I appreciate it, man.
Into this is historic.
Into his far right, man, the perfect tan.
Yeah. I'm a high five.
Holding on to that title. You're such a great schtick, man.
Yeah,
and just,
man.
I'm sorry it didn't work out for him.
For sure.
Oh, man, Brooklyn's finest. Yep. The mayor.
His name is John Cena.
Ain't the goat Cena. But Flobito, what's good, boy?
What's going on, man? Flobito.com live in the building. Thank you so much.
Thanks for being here, man. I appreciate you for coming here, man. Yeah. It was really great. I'm glad that you guys are here for my last go round. And before I get started, man, I want to just briefly talk about before we get to the show, like what we talked about it off air just like 2 seconds ago. What is your feeling when you have a shirt like that and you might get a dirty look from a person that thinks you are calling yourself the perfect 10, not knowing because they don't watch wrestling that it's a wrestling shirt and you're representing the wrestler who calls himself a perfect 10?
That's true.
How do you handle said criticism?
You know what? The perfect 10 actually got a lot of positive response. I was going to get some coffee across the street here, and someone's like, "Yo, bless up, King, you a 10," which is cool. But two weeks ago, I was flying back from New York, and I was wearing a Bobby Roode shirt. It's the Glorious One.
Yes.
And TSA did not like that. Like, excuse me, Glorious One. Now I was like, "No, it's a wrestling shirt. You're real wrestling." They're like, "You mean like WWF?" And when they say that F, you know.
They are so far removed from wrestling.
WWF.
Yes, WWF.
Right.
I'm like, yep, that's the one.
That's the one.
Yeah, like I said, I was telling you before, I told you, Damian saying that, I thought it was one of the best shirts they've ever done. It says, like, I greater than you. It's like right across the middle. Man, this girl walked by and was like,
I don't know.
I'm like, I'm not saying I'm greater than everybody.
He's feeling himself.
Oh, it's a Damian Sandow shirt.
I think those are the best shirts when you don't have to know wrestling and it's still
and it's
a good
cool
shirt.
Yeah. Intellectual savior of the unwashed masses.
But the I greater than you shirt, I think, is a shirt that you don't need to know wrestling. It's a funny shirt
anyway. It's a funny shirt. It's his perfect tag.
I just want to say, sidebar, I love the fact that when you won Money in the Bank, you made it a leather briefcase.
Yeah,
that was totally on brand.
Great.
It was on brand.
It was a leather briefcase. Come on, man. I love that dude, man. He got a little too big for his brand. Bridges, but no. I wanted him to cash in and win. He cashed in and took the L, I think, against old Goat Cena, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
But that's neither here nor there. I welcome everybody to the chat. Heywood Wong, of course. Charlene was good. Tashnik was good. Monge was good. Charlene was good. Dylan was good. Gosh, Marie, Bosa, J. Will, you, DJ Sip, Uncle Murph, Johan Pena, was good. We had Barry Mack was good.
Barry Mack was good, Pop.
We had a very interesting NXT.
TK too, by the way.
I don't know, man. I don't know if I'll give any TK any shout outs, man.
Oh, snap.
You
leaving now.
But that's what I'm saying. It's kind of weird, though. That's why I respect my boys up in there, man.
I appreciate
Evan Mack's last show, they had to buzz. TK decided not to show up.
That's cool.
That's fine.
She told you Monday.
Listen, you telling me you 50-50.
Sometimes it's hard for people to say goodbye.
You telling me you 50-50 don't make it okay. You telling me you might kill me or might not kill me? Just do something.
Do something.
Just kill me. No, listen. We had Damian Priest come out against this one cat named Boa. Before I get on y'all thoughts of the match, you know, and thoughts on Damian Priest.
He's just not clicking for me. I think he's got a cool look, but I don't understand the Archer thing. His matches, they keep feeding him guys, but he never seems to look that good when he's getting fed guys either. I think his look is cool. I guess I can see where people see that, and I know he's got a long indie background to back up a push, but as I see him now as Damian Priest, he's just not clicking for me.
Thoughts?
Yeah, you know what? A lot of the independent wrestling fans, wrestling community always say about the recent signings from the flagship, you know, we're saying the people are just buying people up because of this or that reason, that reason. And I always say that's not the case. You know, it's a business thing. We try to get people who are signed for a reason. Damian Priest is one of the few guys I feel like he's been signed cynically almost. He was great. He's quite past his prime. He's on his decline now.
He's been on shows like a lot.
I can see that. I feel like he was taken off the market because I'm not sure what the Archer of Infamy is. I'm not sure what his reasons are. And it does him no favors going after Boa, who didn't even advance in the tournament. So if it was like him taking on Miles for something, you can say, well, okay, he's the next face of the chapter, but I just feel like he's just there.
Yeah, I don't like that narrative that gets drawn that WWE's buying people's other people can't have them. Like, people need to understand something. They still spending money. I need people to understand something. People always act different when they ain't spending something. You can't spend somebody else's money. Everybody has an opinion when they're spending someone else's money. You're mentally spending WWE's money. You're saying they're doing this because, guys, that costs money.
Yeah.
Signing people to contract costs money. And listen, if they didn't think there was some product there, they have a lot of people in place who's going to be like, all right, there's something with this guy. Guys, these contracts ain't small now.
Right.
This ain't like a $100 contract they signed these guys to do. This ain't back in the day. Yeah. These guys are getting signed to some money, man.
And they've got to explain to their shareholders why there's people who aren't wrestling fans are like, who cares where he goes? Why are we spending money on this? And something an old boss used to always say to me is every shelf has to pay rent. And so if he's a shelf in that store, he's got to find a way to pay rent at that business. And so I don't know about the whole buying people up just so they're not available. I don't think that
unless they're like a hot commodity
business.
And they heard so and so. Like, but don't tell me they're just buying people. Like, if they heard so and so might go to X place, like we could offer a little more money than them.
Right.
And we see, but I'm telling you, people, listen, the WWE has let go of far greater talent.
True.
So if they really cared, man, they let go of some great people. Go on there.
But I got to say,
test the waters.
But the Punisher Martinez era of his career is so much better than what we're seeing as Damian Priest. I'm wondering why. Why the sudden drop off since being signed to the flagship?
Yeah, he's like Night Wolf and Lenny Kravitz had like a baby.
That's a very, T Hawk from Mortal Kombat. Wow.
That was probably where he got the character.
Lenny Kravitz.
That's not my fault. That's not my fault. But it ain't my fault. You were like Night Wolf and Lenny Kravitz had a like love child.
It's a small thing, but I don't understand how the Archer of Infamy doesn't win with the Falcon Arrow when he does the Falcon Arrow. It seems like that just makes sense.
Shout out to Mortal Kombat characters. But I don't know. Listen, this ain't no shade. I'm just saying. I'm just asking y'all a question.
Yeah.
Chat, what y'all think about Damian Priest, man? I don't know what y'all thinking. The crowd doesn't know what to think either, though.
Right.
And I said, and I'm not saying that's necessarily a bad thing or a good thing. I'm saying they don't even know what to think. They don't know. There's a few woos and there's a few. Yeah. You know, it's kind of. It was like they don't know what to make of him either. I don't believe.
Gives you a light show when he comes in the ring. It's like, oh wow, it's like a Vegas thing. Chippendales dancer.
Before
I don't know what that was. Yeah, just
come on, man. But before we move on, NXT goes live next week for the first time. It's going to be a great, great show for Flo Beadle to sit in the old proverbial boardwalk right in there. A nice spot for you to get in your debut. Going to be right here when they go live.
Yeah.
2 hours. I think it's going to be the best NXT show they've ever had. I'm going on
two networks.
That. Yeah, it's going to be something special. They've been pressing this Dream versus Roderick Strong. So before I move on, I want to get you guys' thoughts on that and who wins that match.
I'm going to say Roderick Strong goes over here, but to make that make sense, you're going to have to spend the entire hour hyping that up, because you have to put Dream over as a character in the face of the brand that he doesn't get a title. If you're going USA, there's going to be millions or hundreds of thousands of people who haven't seen the show before.
Sure.
So you're basically starting from scratch. To have Roderick Strong lose today, you can always have the rematch, but it won't have the same effect of being like, oh, you're watching this historic change.
Biggest impact.
And with the splitting of the show for the first 2 weeks and one happening on the network and one happening on USA, you have to give people a reason to stay or come back next week or the next hour.
Yeah, I agree that I think Strong's going to go over. He's going to win. And I think what they're going to build, I think, as to your what you're alluding to, is I think what we're going to see is a build of a Velveteen Dream versus the Undisputed Era and him going after Cole for the title.
Ooh.
And I think that they're going to use next week to make it personal between them. Ooh. And that will be the story that the new fans that are coming in can get engaged to. Because I think Velveteen Dream's the kind of guy that if you're flipping through the channels and you see, you go, that's an interesting character. I want to see more of that guy.
For sure.
And so that's how they're going to feature him, I think.
Do you feel like, as far as the dream goes and doing that, do you feel the Undisputed Era is going to influence that match at all? You think they're going to make sure it be around, hovering around, and make sure he goes over? Do you see that happening?
There will for sure be shenanigans.
Shenanigans.
Oh, great.
Flim-flamming.
It's one of my favorite words, man.
Flim-flamming.
My favorite words. Back to the Priest thing. I asked a couple of people in the chat. Eli Ban says Priest will be so good, in his opinion. He said they say Damian Priest. Michael says Damian Priest is solid. So people like him. People mm-hmm. like what he's bringing to the table.
Well, it's very possible with him too. So, I mean, I didn't really like the original Bro when he first came out, Matt Riddle. When he first came out, I wasn't into him. I didn't think his matches mm-hmm. were that great when he was facing jobbers mm-hmm. and kind of nobodies at that point either.
Match probably changed your mind. Match of Takeover.
Absolutely, because then you could really see him and go, wow, this guy's actually really good. And I think maybe it wouldn't surprise me if Damian Priest had a match like that with someone who's actually really good in a longer match that changes my mind on him. But seeing, and we talk about this with the Viking Raiders mm-hmm. as well, that seeing guys beat people who clearly aren't going to be winning matches doesn't do them a lot of favors.
Used to be a thing back in wrestling. It used to right. matter. The times have changed. It doesn't look as good anymore. Yeah. It used to be a thing. I think before it became really well known that this person's never going to win.
Right.
No disrespect, but jobbers look like so much like jobbers now.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like, damn, like this, they don't got a shot, man.
Right. Yes.
And I think I don't think it works like it used to work. I think it's better served to maybe grab somebody in the back that you've seen a while. And no disrespect, but because it's not his fault, but like a Zack Ryder coming out.
Right.
And putting on a good match and losing. Like, right. I think that's better for the, if you're trying to
for
build
everybody.
Up.
Because at least Zack Ryder's on TV.
He's on TV.
Kurt Hawkins is on TV. And I that would have been a better win for someone like Damian Priest than against Boa, who I only know from being in a tournament of people we don't know and losing in the tournament of people we don't know.
Well said.
Yeah, I think the jobber dynamics changed because of the glutton of content. I know growing up with Superstars on Saturday and Wrestling Challenge on Sundays, you got two jobber matches and one match mid-card versus mid-card.
Correct.
But you're watching mm-hmm. Raw with 3 hours and everyone's in mid-card all day, and then you throw in some guy who's a local talent. It's like, well, you might as well, you're saying, you might as well get me Kurt Hawkins if you're going
to
do that.
And it's no disrespect to those guys, because I'm telling you, for people that don't know the ins and outs of wrestling, that's a huge moment for him.
Yeah.
National mm-hmm. TV, Spotlight, International TV, Raw, getting in a match, his friends and family there to see him, even to get the brakes beat off him, it's a big deal for him. If you were to ask him, he'd be
true.
Biggest thing of my life.
Yeah. Right.
So it's not about that. I'm all for that, but damn, it just looks bad when they put somebody like the Viking Raiders and they expect us to be like, we believe in that.
Yeah.
So we have Johnny Gargano come out, talk about his future. We all know the result of that. He said he is staying in NXT. I think it's very interesting because we were kind of all leaning towards his options were 205 Live. People mm-hmm. are telling me 205 Live is about to become extinct. Mm-hmm. And I understand why. NXT's moving to 2 hours. It's going to be live. It's going to be bigger. It's still going to be developmental, but I think it's going to move into its own promotion because it's going on USA. USA seeing the product. No disrespect. As good as relationship they had with WWE, these companies are into making money.
Yes.
So that means they probably were presented a package. They were presented some video footage, and they were like, oh, we can make some money off this. Mm-hmm. Johnny Gargano's a staple. I don't know what incapacity he's going to be there, but tell me your thoughts on Johnny G saying he's staying at NXT.
Yeah, he's way more valuable on that brand. I mean, Yes, he's physically smaller, so yeah, he can have a title, but it comes down to whether or not you believe him. He has enough utilitarian powers or skills to be in any promotion, but NXT needs him. Here is a brand that has to redefine what it is to a brand new audience that's used to seeing SmackDown and Raw. He's pretty much the pure essence of that brand. The question I have was like, well, who is going to go storyline wise, right?
So that's what I'm wondering.
You know, he's not going to be the top anymore. We're seeing a little bit today with Shane Thorne. Maybe, maybe not. Maybe it's a one off. Maybe not. But the idea is, I think he's going to be the anchor of it. If he's not going to be in the main event picture, he's going to be the one that everyone's going to tune into.
Do you see him being like a Natalya role? Is that too harsh? Fighting people to elevate them?
I think he'll probably eventually get back up to the NXT title scene. With the 2 hours, it's going to give a lot more breathing room to these guys. The reason I kind of got tired of Gargano is just because he was always at the top of the show, and there wasn't anywhere else for him at that
point. Correct.
And the nice thing about NXT is usually people are able to just kind of go off into the sunset after that. But now at 2 hours, they might have more time to let him just have mid-card feuds, build back up, give him room to breathe. Mm-hmm. So I think it might work. It'll depend on how the new NXT is going to look.
Right.
I agree. That's what I said. But it's not a bad thing. We all were on the impression that if he went to 205 Live, that might be it.
Yeah.
Mm.
That might be it for him. Maybe unless a Cedric Alexander thing happened, but I just don't think he has the power that Sed has. Sed is weirdly strong, and I don't give a damn. Y'all need to weigh that man. He ain't on 205 pounds.
No, 209. No way.
You kidding me?
213. No
way. All that meat and potatoes.
No.
Meat and potatoes? What's
all them eating them collard greens and cornbread.
Him and Buddy Murphy were cheating on that.
Buddy Murphy is so whoa!
Yeah, he is.
Bro, I was backstage and he was sitting there at the in the craft services. I was like, what the hell?
Eating greens.
He went 205 pounds, bro.
Yeah.
That dude is huge, man. Big old shoulder. Man, y'all go ahead, man. Y'all better weigh that dude.
We're on a scale, Crash Holly style.
That show needs to be 205 and some change. 205 with a remainder of 28.
Remember when cruiserweights were 22-25 and under?
Like for real, man. Yeah. But then we get to one of my highlights of my show, man. Listen, this is my guy in the breakout tournament. This is the guy I thought should have went over.
Bubba.
You think I'm crazy, man? Angel Garza, man. I think he is box office, man. Jim was on this set just snickering and scoffing and laughing at me.
Yeah.
That dude, he has something that I've missed in wrestling for a long time.
What's that?
That Ravishing Rick Rude guy, man.
Okay.
I love that, man. That dude came out and got a kiss on his cheek from a random fan.
Grandma Ma.
Yes. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Yes.
I don't care what he does after that.
Yeah.
Because that could always go wrong.
Yeah.
That can always go south. That was not a plan. He was like, I'm going to do this. And she's going to do it.
Yeah.
And she did it, man. Oh, it was so good. And then the guys were trying to touch him. He was like, no. This beautiful Hispanic thing is brilliant to me. I'm telling you, man, this dude's a star, man. Takes off the pants, shows off the little physique. Nigel was putting him over. He went against the Bruce Wayne, which is a good test. One of my favorite wrestlers who I think is going to be jumping ship and not doing the coast-to-coast thing. I think he's going to be firmly playing it.
See?
I do, man.
Even British Strong Style. That's needed.
Why not? Why not have that one guy there? But just give me your thoughts on that, man. I see you can put your little trepidations on my guy.
Oh yeah, your guy. No, you know what?
The hell is your problem?
I'm split in the middle, man. I remember that time on NXT when Jim was like, "Who the hell is the girl?"
And I told him.
I get it. He has a size. He has a look.
He's big, dude.
He has a look that reminds me of TJP, but in like a younger way. He's very athletic. I'm worried that it may become one dimensional a little bit.
Possible.
And Pete Dunne is a fantastic talent. One of my favorites.
He's great.
And it was a great match, but I still don't know more about what Angel can do, right? I'm not sure if he's straight lucha. I don't know if he's going to be the powerhouse guy, or he's just going to be like the Prince Pretty, like show my abs correct thing yet. But yeah, I think he's a solid talent. I don't hate him.
Yeah, but
the problem I'm having, you'll see overall with today's show and the breakout veterans, it's like a lot of guys went through this tournament and came out vanilla. Like, it's like, wait, I saw them wrestle, but I know nothing about these guys.
That's fair.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, absolutely. I think with him, you're right. He could go nowhere. It could become a problem. But I'm with Evan. I think I saw a ton of charisma. He's a good-looking guy. He wrestled really, really well. I mean, NXT, could it go wrong? Yes.
Oh,
but
absolutely.
NXT is all about kind of backing guys that you don't know about. And it's
true.
If you wait until he's the world champion to say he's going to be a great...
That's what I'm trying to say.
A king of the ring.
You want to be that person that got on the front foot. Yeah, I'm going out on a damn limb. I think that dude is one of the best. I'm telling you, he reminds me of just a hair. He has a lot of work to do. But if I start thinking about Alberto, that's a good thing. And that's what I think. And that's what I think about when I see this dude. It's different, though. That a Mexican aristocrat to me is one of the greatest characters in the history.
Agreed.
History of wrestling.
Judgment
of
Reigns.
Seriously, because it it was on another level. You don't ever get that, the audacity, because this, keep on, to get on a real note, that thing is reserved for like the refined white person that comes in, mm-hmm. he's better than you. The audacity, Mexican dude saying, I'm better than you, right. I got more money than you, that mm-hmm. was unbelievable.
His fuel Mysterio,
and I feel that that girl's like, you can't even touch me, man. You can't touch me. Yeah. I'm here for the, I just like it. I don't even think he knows what he is yet either.
Yeah.
Like that, when you said, I don't know if he's this, maybe he doesn't really
know. They may link it. They are cousins in real life.
Yeah, the moment of him, as you mentioned, getting the kiss from the grandma, then brushing off the guys, and then just the way he carries himself in the ring is, you can tell he's confident.
And you see Pete Dunne was like,
He was not feeling that at all.
He just had his like,
I would kill this
brother. He's wearing a cocky t-shirt. I don't like that.
But that's what also made them such a good match, is they were so different, and you could tell they wouldn't like each other if they were to meet each other. Like, these guys would not get along. Right. So it immediately made it a great match. I loved it. I thought it was a great match.
Yeah, but just to your point, you read about that. You never know, man. And that's the thing. It's about backing those horses before they get out of this thing, before they get to the end of the Triple Crown now. When they're in Kentucky Derby. Favorite? Now you want them to go?
No,
it's about.
I love Seth Rollins. He's pretty cool.
Yeah. Charlotte's going to be a big deal, you guys.
Like, for real. That girl came out, the womb going to be great, whether she knew it or not. Right. No, but it's one of those things where, like, he's the guy I'm backing, you know, and I don't back many. Him and Riddle, my two guys. To me, for the future, it's nothing against anybody else, but those are my two guys where I'm like, those are my stars right there. Those are the guys I'm going to see do well. They put him against the Bruiserweight, which I thought was interesting, contrasting of styles. I said I liked it. I like seeing him out there. Clearly, he signed. So clearly, he's doing all right. Got a little developmental contract. And back to what you were saying, Jack, people forget in its truest form, NXT is still developmental.
Yes.
That's what it is, and it's not a bad thing. That it's like a negative connotation that someone needs to develop, that this person's underdeveloped. That's not necessarily a bad thing.
Right.
You know what I mean? Development into something great, you know? So I think we get a little sidetracked. Like, why isn't this person star? Why isn't this person box office? Like, they're at the performance center.
Right.
Trying to get better, you know, trying to cut promos, trying to do their thing, you know what I mean?
And Garza is only 26.
Ooh, young buck.
So, he's young. If he spent 3 years there, he'd still be 29.
Wow.
Right.
And be able to go on to have another 12 years.
That's a great point right there. His age, and that does matter. And it's not about, it's no disrespect, but it's just a young man's game. Mm-hmm. One of the reasons why, besides the mismanagement and the shenanigans, why WCW failed is because they backed old guys. Mm-hmm. And to me, old Jack Sparrow and Black Pearl, Flagship, he was like, I'm going with these young boys.
Yep.
And people don't understand that's why WCW was always going to lose. He backed the young talent, the young crop. He's like, you guys did great for my business. Appreciate you, but you guys can't be running the show anymore. Right. I got to bring in the Shawn Michaels and the Christians and the Edges. Yeah. These are the future. And literally, he was right.
Right.
So I think it's I like the young buck, man. I like it. The youth is on his side. You're right. He's 26. He's younger than I thought he was.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, man. Bruiserweight gets the dub. Nice little submission.
By the way,
shouldn't the finger move be an illegal move?
Hell yeah. Mm-hmm.
How come he's allowed to do that? That seems like that should be.
Jack, I'm with you on that. Can't be just grabbing pigeons, twisting fingers.
Yeah. You want to get the rule book out?
Article 45.
Earlier in the night, Damian Priest grabbed a guy's ear, and they're like, no, 1, 2, 3, 4, stop it. But he grabs a finger and bends it backwards. Like, okay.
The ref is marking out. The ref is looking at his own fingers, going,
I don't want you to grab my finger.
The ref's like, all right, B. Let go.
Make it quick. Yeah.
Crowd was invested. I thought it was great. We had the Street Profits came out, cut a promo. It's happening sooner than I thought.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to be in the 2 hour show. Mm-hmm. So maybe this call up that I think is going to happen is coming faster than I thought. Yeah. I think they're going to make the Undisputed Era and give them the tag team championship rematch. I think they're going to lose that rematch.
Mm-hmm.
This is way a lot of speculation. I usually don't do that. And I think that Street Profits is going to get the call up faster than I thought they were, actually.
Yeah.
What do you guys think about that? Because they looked in the cameras and pretty much declared that match.
Yeah. I just want to say, first off, I thought the shot in this was great with them kind of panning down with the buildings behind them.
Great shot.
But I think they're going to lose the match. I think it's going to be a great match because those two teams do really well. I think the call-up's going to happen. I think it needs to happen sooner. Personally, I think their Raw stuff is starting to get really tired.
I disagree.
But
do you really?
I do.
What tweet gets done? I would love to hear.
I agree. I think they're going to have a great match. I think it's going to probably be to start the second hour. Just, I don't know. I'm going to throw a random prediction out there. Why not? But it'll be to start the second hour. And I think it's going to be great. I think they're going to lose. I think we're ending next week with the draped in gold thing.
I hope so.
And so... So, yeah, I think they'll retain, and That's that.
Explain yourself.
I want to hear what you have to say.
How can I be on trial? I have the gavel.
judge.
I just want to say, like, yo, I get it. Them and NXT was way over in a different character, too. I love them. Them and Raw and that, and Neil is entertaining. And the longer it's going on, you realize they're trying to develop what that's going to be. Almost no gimmicks from NXT stays the same when it comes to the main roster. So you have that on the NXT style. That story has to end to put them on Raw. So, yes, I don't want to say I'm over it. It's not running down on me. I'll give them a shot, but they have to have a legitimate shot. If they have their first feud and they're doing something stupid or like whatever, then I'll say, okay, I'm done. But them talking backstage about matches we've seen and we want the smoke, that's just FaceTime for me. So to me, it's even money.
And my only problem is I think it just goes too long. Literally just from a time point of view. Mm-hmm. I ain't talking about the weeks. I'm talking about, God, they go for... It seems like forever, man.
Yeah.
I just don't think anyone gets that kind of backstage time, man.
It's true.
It does feel like they use them to, like, kill time or, like, hey, we've got an extra 3 minutes. Like, can you just burn it?
Damn! Well,
I always thought the fact that because Cole spends so much time recapping what happened in the first hour, and he's, like, outsourced that. So he does it less. That's why I never thought of it as a waste of time. It was like, he's going to do it
I'm
anyway.
I'm with you on that, but damn! We want the smoke. We want the smoke.
Cheese and crackers. So we had, for some reason, Raul Mendoza versus Cameron Grimes.
For some reason? I don't know.
I'm saying that because I thought the lady should have got a little more time.
I agree, absolutely.
Yeah, I think the lady should have got more, a little more time. Jack, take me through this. Take me through Cameron Grimes. Take me through thoughts.
Put him over, brother.
I'm not a big Cameron Grimes fan. I don't get him.
What did he do to you?
I don't get it. He looks like a backwoods Sweeney Todd with his hat.
Oh, hell no. Oh, hell no. I ain't gonna let you come on here. It's you Sweeney Todd and him?
Yo.
Stephen Barber of Fleet Street?
It's true. That hat's gonna headline WrestleMania.
The hat is more over than he is.
Yeah, it is.
No, the hat is fire.
Shots of hats, y'all.
That top hat is flames.
It's a bunny, Madam Rose.
There is a snowman that should be alive right now.
Oh, damn. Shout out to Frosty. Frosty won his thing.
Jack is roasting Cameron Grimes.
Frosty won his hat back.
Sweeney Todd too, apparently.
So I mean, watches. I just don't get what makes him special. He seems to be like the one from the tournament besides Miles that they want to push. But I just don't.
Clearly,
I thought Raul seemed better in this match.
He got his promo like the promo last week. He got for like no reason.
Yeah, what a win.
And Raul, I didn't think he was like a superstar, but I thought he came off looking better. It looked like his moves were super fluid.
Great wrestler.
Everything he did looked great. And funny enough, and I mean this with all due respect to him, we talked about like what was wrong with Kona as an enhancement guy.
Yeah.
And I was thinking Raul would have been a better enhancement guy. Everything he did looked good. It looked smooth. It made Cameron Grimes look good. I mean, I all jokes aside, I don't have anything against Cameron Grimes. I just don't get why he's getting so much time as
this
opposed
dude.
To other people.
Yeah, he looked like he would like audition with the Wyatt family, but didn't like get a call back at all.
Right. Well, he got this hat instead.
Yeah, they were like,
let's follow the buzzing.
Yo, shout out to Frosty,
the right guy in the booth. That's
it's like they were like, bro, listen, we got this hat for you, though.
Yeah,
man.
We got this
call back.
Dope box.
But
I'm in the same boat, man. I'm not a fan of Cameron Grimes, and I, you know what, this is my little indie rage here. There's so many guys that don't fit the mold or just feel like can hit hard and be strong style. You know how I feel about strong style. I'll get to that in another week or two, but everyone always says, oh, he's a throwback. It's a bygone era. But the problem with throwbacks is, man, you gotta give me something new. When I go to a Michael Bublé concert, he's not doing all the songs from the 40s.
He's
doing new songs, old songs in the old style. So you can merge those too. Mm-hmm. So you give me all these things from like Memphis and North Carolina circa 87, and it's like, great. Now what?
He's a throwback to the old era, brother.
Okay.
Mon said he's meh.
Oh, that's what Mon said.
He said he's meh.
And his hat.
Unless there's a rabbit in it, I don't.
Oh, hell.
Why is Jack roasting Cameron Grimes?
He's roasting this dude. Right.
Oh my goodness, poor guy.
I know, right?
Damn,
man, magic tricks.
He'd be dope if he pulled a rabbit at that joint, though.
I know. Right?
I F switch, man. No, man, it's interesting. No, there's nothing to get right. Nothing against the dude. Just don't know what it is. He got the promo last week. Solo close. I was like, oh, they like this dude.
Yeah,
Cameron Grimes. Sweeney Todd.
That sounds like a serial killer name.
Frosty the Snowman.
That's your stable.
Untamed Buff Bagwell.
This is ruthless.
Wow.
I would never be so.
You got Houdini back there as the manager.
Heel Jack, man.
Disrespect.
You're gonna have on the show next week.
How's the track go? Frosty. What's the track? How's that go? What's the track?
I have no idea. How is the Mac Lynch? Yeah, I have no.
He got a track, don't he?
Yeah.
He got a track right
there. I'll be back on Christmas Day. Yeah.
He melts and stuff right there.
Yeah, he melts at the end.
No, he dies, man.
He does die.
Parents don't tell you nothing when you were a kid, man.
Nope, he does.
Frosty dies.
You think Frosty's chilling on the beach in the summer?
I didn't know.
I like warm hugs.
I like he dies.
Frosty, no.
Hey.
Oh, yeah.
I knew he had a track.
Get it, I got it, man.
The button nose. There it is, the button nose.
You find coal nowadays?
And he goes to think about it. And then after he melted, Kramer Grimes is like, I'll take that.
Oh, that's savage. Stepping over his puddle and taking his hat.
Just looking like neon stuff. I can't stand y'all. Listen, so we had Lord William Regal, one of my favorites of all time.
He's back. Where's he on your ranking list? He's top 5, top 10, top 20? Favorite, not best, but favorite.
25.
Okay.
Top 25. That's pretty good. Think about every wrestler that's ever lived.
Yeah.
I think 25 is not bad. I think I'd be one of the rare people that put him top 25 of all time.
Okay.
I don't think a lot of people would do that.
He's a man's man, right?
Yeah, I just like his character. Like these, you know, he comes out with the
King
like
of the Ring. Yeah.
But he's like toiling away, you know what I mean? He's writing on his parchment, you know what I mean?
His parchment.
You know, he's quill. Doing British thing. Mods know what I'm talking about. Listen, there ain't a Brit in this world that don't drink tea every day, man.
Mods.
Don't you drink tea every day?
True.
He'll co-sign it. No, but tea and biscuits, man. Beans and toast. He know about that beans and toast. So I just he comes in. He's like, oh, Boothang kicks in the door, man. She's like, listen, man, hold on.
That's Boothang.
Oh, Boothang. I just say Boothang. And she say my Boothang.
I was like, oh, that's Eel. What's Boothang?
I said, listen, Eel. That's Boothang. Boothang. Eel's your ride.
Okay.
Let me know. Girl.
I agree.
You let me know, man.
No
just say, you never know. You never know, man. I might be taking a trip to Tokyo soon. You never know. Me and Flobo. Listen, check it out. So, no, she comes in, man, and it was very interesting. Man, and Rico kind of teased the 5-way, but that's not going to happen because what happens at the end, but she's in the match. It's a fatal 4-way.
Yeah.
So what is your thoughts, guys, on that happening? Like I said, I think this is going to be amazing first live show, but what are your thoughts on the fatal 4-way? Who do you see coming out of that? Because we're going to tease a little bit of those kind of things because I won't be here, but just what do you guys think of that match and who wins that match?
I am torn on who's going to win that match. I don't think it's going to be LeRae or Io Shirai because I think they're going to keep that feud going. It seemed weird if one of them just moved on to a title match.
Yeah.
So it's going to be Belair or Yim, and I don't know. I don't know which one of them. I think I'd rather Belair, personally.
It's absolutely Belair. To your point, you have two women storylines and the Io Shirai and Krannis thing is still happening.
Yeah.
Mia Yim proves she's not ready. And Bianca, the last two matches of her worked as a face, doing more of the spectacular stuff and the flippy stuff.
Sure.
It seems to me they're priming her to beat someone handedly to say she's ready again. And it'd be different for her as the EST.
So where does Io go?
Io has to finish the thing with Candice LeRae, but they do need new talent there. That's what the new crop of women's... I mean, we're talking about Randa Gonzalez is in the waiting there. Really, Ripley's now in there. There's got to be someone else in that mix. But yeah, I think she's pretty much going to be Candice LeRae. Candice going to put her over and then go to separate ways.
Does Io ever get the title?
Yeah, but you need a face of the belt. Like, I don't see having Shayna Baszler and Io Shirai because they're too good as two heels.
Everybody has a face, has to have the belt before another heel has the belt.
Mm-hmm.
That's very true.
Because she's too new to being a heel to do a heel versus heel.
That's so true.
Because she would turn face instantly. Because I think everyone likes her as a heel.
Yeah, they would never do like heel then heel. They wouldn't do that.
Yeah.
Oh, God. That'd be
I mean, the one brand you would do would be NXT, but I don't think they would do it.
That'd be cool, though. Yeah. I wouldn't mind that at all, man. Like, another nasty just having the belt, man.
Nasty.
Shout out to Lacey Evans. That boot thang right there. Lacey Evans fine as hell.
She works out, yeah.
Lacey Evans fine as hell, boy. Lord. Jesus, take the wheel. But I'm still be good.
You get to make the best uncle ever, man.
Can you?
Let me highlight you later, Lacey Evans.
Lord have mercy, man. Okay, so we got the main event, which I thought was pretty good for what it was worth. Miss Ripley comes out against Shayna Baszler. Thoughts, gentlemen?
Like the match, Rhea Ripley shows that that's a heel working as a face in the match, right? On NXT UK last week, she totally lifted Piper Niven over her shoulder. She has strength for days.
Beast mode.
You mentioned it earlier. I was kind of disappointed in how it finished, not because of how it finished, but I felt like you could have held that Cameron Grimes match a week to give the ladies more time. But otherwise, I was happy with it and how it ended.
Yeah, I agree. I think Ripley's one of those people, and this is what I think would happen to Io Shirai. I think it may happen to her eventually anyways, is some people are so good at being heels, they become faces. It kind of happened. It happened
Ziggler.
To Ziggler, Ric Flair.
Triple H.
It kind of happened to Randy Orton for a while.
True.
I think Ripley is, whether or not she's trying to be face or heel, I think she's just... I like her. Darth I don't Vader. Even if she was low blowing and using brass knuckles and poking eyes, I'd be like, this I like this person.
I would give her a loan.
Like,
no, seriously.
Brass knuckles for real?
No, but see, I know what you mean. It's like, doesn't kind of matter what she does when like Austin, like everyone was like, Austin was a face. I go, I did healer stuff. Like, it just Austin was just so over. Mm-hmm. You just had to be like, there's no matter what he did, you didn't care if he slapped your mom, you'd be like, you know what? She was back talking. And he stopped the mud and walked it dry.
Yeah, Austin benefited because it was really the first time where they tinkered with the formula of kayfabe of we're going to present this thing inside this fictional world but make it sound like it's real. That's why I think it helped him out too. I mean, awesome talent, anti-hero, all that stuff too. But
anti-establishment.
Yeah, he definitely had that balance of is this happening? Is this supposed to be happening? That's oh my gosh!
Let's not take away from Vince being an amazing heel,
taking bumps every
that
week,
too.
Right?
Getting things dumped on him, and sprayed on him, and bump after bump. Vince, man, he knew what he had to do, man. I told you it was desperate times, man. Desperate times go for desperate measures, man. Yeah. Shout out to Vince McMahon, flagship old Jack Sparrow is what I call him because people are like that Jack Sparrow. See, whatever, little unorthodox.
Yeah.
Doesn't know what the you don't think he knows what the plan is.
Yeah.
Stumbles around a little bit. All of a sudden, but saves the day. That's
Vince. I got a quick story for you guys.
I was
in 10th grade English class and we had to write a 2-page paper about our greatest hero. And I went home and I wrote about Vince McMahon.
No way.
And I was going to go to class and everyone in front of me was like, my mom is amazing. My grandma beat cancer. My dad's the best guy ever. And I was like, oh, what is going on right now?
Congratulations!
We're here live.
That is extraordinary.
Get this on camera.
That is extraordinary. I love y'all so much, man.
You gotta blow it out, man.
Oh, man, we live, man. Y'all are amazing.
Make a wish, buddy.
It just came true, man. This was amazing. I love y'all, man, so much, truly. I'm taking this cake home, too. I ain't sharing it with none of y'all.
I thought it was cool.
I thank y'all so much, man. I love y'all to death, man. Y'all are the best, man. Is that someone? Is that bubbly?
You got bubbly.
Oh! I love y'all to death, man.
Thanks. So here's the thing. So Evan, I remember you on your first day here, and I'm like, this guy has got it, and I knew
he does.
And it's a matter of talent, work ethic, attitude, positivity, and you know it wasn't easy. Like we had bumps, remember?
I'm tearing up.
Remember, remember, but you kept coming back.
Yeah,
right. You were resilient, and you showed everything. And this is no coincidence. This is no luck. You know, it's all and all that stuff. Everyone always says, "Oh, it's timing. It's who you know." No, you showed up. You were present. You were amazing. You were positive and mixed with talent. And we're so excited for what's next for you. And you know, we're going to be there every step of the way. And you guys, you're next.
Yeah, let's go.
Let's do it.
Yeah,
man. Thank you so much, man.
Thank you so much, man. Kevin Nagar, co-founder of Must TV. Doing a cameo, cutting a promo.
God.
The big bottle, too. Wow, that's a Costco sign, baby. Wow.
Got me crying up in here, man.
Nah, it's cool, man. And they gave us alcohol and left. This is dope.
All right, man.
Well deserved.
Got me crying up in here, man.
You got a promo, man?
Man. Truly, man. You like at times, you know, you're in a place, man. You don't know if you're getting appreciated. You don't know if people are noticing what you do and how you do things. And clearly, I was wrong. This is the best place I've ever worked because I'm a person truly that doesn't have that many friends, man, and or friends in the past or friends back in the day that I've lost because of just bad things, man, dishonest, rude, backstabbing type stuff, man. And like from the bottom of my heart, the best people I've ever met in my life are in this place.
Hell yeah.
And that's from you. That's from TK. That's from Jim. That's from Steven. That's from Bree. That's Kev. That's Rye. Rye guy I just met. That's Josh. Tony back in the day when Tony was here. Literally everybody in this place, man. I've never met better people. Truly, I don't. And that's what this place is about for me. I always run my mouth, man. I'd run my mouth whether I have it always on this TV or this show or not. That's what I do. I talk. You know what I mean? But I came here because of people. Man, and you guys, like, you guys made me go to Raw.
I love wrestling. Wrestling's something I always talk about, but I came here for you guys because you guys make it fun and you guys really care about it. And you guys have the same look in your eyes that I did when I watched wrestling as a kid.
Yeah.
You guys still have that look, you know what I mean, when you talk about it. We know it's not real. We don't give a damn, you know what I mean?
Right. Yeah, we know.
You know,
right.
It's the people. That's, to me, what this place represents, man, not just opportunities. It's, I've met the best people I've ever met in my life here. And I love all y'all.
Raise the glass, baby.
I want to give the that whole
Cheers.
Champagne bottle. I'm drinking
Cheers.
It. Cheers. But I appreciate y'all, man. Truly. But before we still got 4 minutes. Are we good?
I'm still yours too, Jack, because I'm thirsty.
Go for it.
Yeah. So, but because it's my last show, man. I was tripping yesterday and I got lost time, man. I ain't do Clash of Champions preseason.
12 matches.
So we gonna go through it right now.
Let's
because
it,
I respect y'all's opinion.
Hell yeah.
And I don't give a damn. Wrestling fans, it's wrestling. We can all talk about wrestling.
Yeah, man.
And this is wrestling stuff. So we gonna start this. Y'all love Wikipedia, man. This could be, you know, everybody knows Wikipedia can be wrong, though. They say Wikipedia can be wrong. But
nah, man, I went to the iPhone on Wikipedia.
But I'm gonna tell you something right now. Damn it, I'm gonna act like it's right now.
Okay.
So I'm just gonna start from the top. They have Bayley versus Charlotte Flair singles match for the WWE SmackDown Women's Championship. What say you, Jack Farmer?
Bayley. Bayley's gonna win with some underhanded tactics and cement her heel turn.
She better win. I think she's gonna win too. I know they wanted to do the 10 time Charlotte whatever, but Bayley has to.
Damn, 10. Damn.
She has 9 now.
Damn, y'all really gonna give her that 16 time, ain't y'all? I know what y'all doing. This ain't check out.
But you know what? She deserves it. She deserves it.
Listen,
Charlotte's good enough.
You
want to
talk about an Apex Predator? Lord,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
She's fine too, man. Andrade, you need to give her up, man. Yeah, going up the rails.
All of
them. I know, but you give her up.
Yo, Andrade, you gotta chill, bro.
Because
you and I might be closer sooner than you think, man. You might have to go give her up, man. Me and wife, you already had a chat.
I'm sorry, Evan asked.
Me and wife, you already had a chat. You might go ahead and give her up. She's been catching my eye lately. No, but go, Flubber, we.
Yeah, you nearly have to go over. I don't know about Andrade.
Andrade can be the bricks on
that. We're talking about Andrade.
Andrade ain't gonna put the hammer lock DDT on your
right,
boy.
Exactly.
I'm like, brother,
please don't hurt me, man. I was being respectful.
Had it coming. Had it coming, boy.
Yeah, I thought Bayley had some in that match, man.
Bayley. Yeah. Seth Rollins and Braun Strowman versus Robert Roode and Dolph Ziggler. Do the gentlemen relinquish these titles and give it to them? It felt like they gave the title to a big names to have a comparable talent beat them.
Sure.
I could be wrong. What the hell do I know? But I'm just saying, but it seemed like, wait a minute, what the hell did they get the tag team title for?
Yeah.
But then, boom, all of a sudden they appeared as a team. And I'm like, oh, that's them with the gold. Cool. So I think Ziggy and Bobby Roode went.
Yeah, it opens a show. You're seeing Bobby Roode find a way to be glorious and look like he's a part of
Seriously?
Team Ziggler. Like that whole like dark sub thing, too.
That Beer Money 2.0.
Beer Money. Yeah, it's not the Beer Money. That's one of those things that,
that's dope.
That's one of the things that I totally appreciate about TNA. But they open the show and they get the titles.
I think beyond that, I think we're going to see a heel turn by Braun Strowman, and he's going to turn on Seth Rollins. I think that's going to be, and I think that's going to set up the loss of the tag titles.
Yeah, I think Braun can go either way. It's almost annoying that he's a face.
Yeah.
He's just too big and nasty. When I was growing up, guys like that, they didn't like people that look like me, and they just beat people up.
Yeah, there's a reason they call them faces. If you don't have a face, then you shouldn't be a face.
He's just so nasty.
Sorry, Sin Cara, you can't be a face.
That's one of the reasons why. Listen, I know it is a Hispanic and Mexican tradition, man, but ain't nobody asked you to cover your damn face up. The merchandising rights are terrible.
His name is literally without a face.
I don't know what you look like. I don't give a damn. Don't be trying to translate.
Look at you. I don't trust them luchadores.
Jay Jonah Jameson over here. He's wearing a mask.
I don't tell us how I am.
I don't trust him.
I'm like, yeah, he saved them from that burning building, but he probably caused the fire.
No. I was not a man.
Oh, no, listen, man, before the vaudeville hook comes out here. Listen, I'm skipping. That's too great. Well, y'all can't put that at third. I'm skipping that. Oh, and that too? I'm skipping that. So we had Drew Gulak versus Lince Dorado.
Lince Dorado and Humberto Carrillo.
You sound really interested in this one.
Yeah.
Evan, why don't you tell us about the build up to this match?
Oh man, the guy's about to get fired before I even get started. Go. Who is?
Drew has to retain here, man.
I've never read their names before. I've never seen their names.
Oh yeah,
those names printed.
I think it's funny that the Lucha House Party is getting all this time all of a sudden.
They are
because I've been more vocal on social media about being underutilized. dope, but I don't think they get a title here.
The greatest lucha tag team I've ever seen in my life. You already know where they at.
Mm-hmm. Old Pentagon Jr., boy.
Okay. Pentagon. Oh, Lucha Bros. Lucha Bros. Yeah. I'm Lucha Bros. Huge Lucha Bros.
Oh, my
yeah.
Lord. But go ahead. I love them so much. I would throw $1 million at them to sign with WWE. That's why I couldn't make Joe Finance.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know. Y'all coming over here.
Right. Yeah, you would be the guy that signed people just to sign people.
I'm like, oh, y'all gotta come over here, man.
Everyone gets $10 million.
I just think they could take the Luchador division. Everyone asking, where can I think they could do it?
Yes.
I think they could do it. But go ahead. What do you think?
Gulak, just because I think, especially if 205 is a short term thing going forward, just leave him as the champ. Let him be the last champ. He seems like the guy that would carry that.
Why not? Yeah. New Day versus the Revival.
I would like the Revival to win, but New Day has to retain here because they haven't wrestled in so long.
Agreed.
Yeah. No, I think so too. I think if they lose also, then it kind of takes a little bit of the fun away from Kofi's match later. Yeah.
Shinsuke versus The Miz.
The Miz.
Yeah. Ooh. No, Shinsuke retains here. Shinsuke has to retain here.
Think
yeah.
so. Not, you don't
because
think
he,
don't
he won the match. He beat Andrade on Tuesday, so they're trying to build him up. I don't see him actually winning the title.
Do you think beating Andrade means something, though?
I do.
Oh, God, because the way they were doing it.
With the Skullcrusher right. finale clean?
I know, clean.
I don't know, man.
I was surprised by that.
I was surprised for real. But
yeah, so Miz wins, is what I'm saying.
But the 10th title, you think? The 10th Intercontinental title reign?
I don't
see it, though.
I don't see it Sunday. He will do it. I don't see it Sunday.
Yeah, he definitely will do it. Mm-hmm. I like that thought process, though. So we have Roman Reigns versus Eric Rowan, which to me is actually, I think the crowd was invested in this.
Oh, yeah.
This actually
sure.
played out really well, especially considering how bad it could have been. I would love everyone to go back and watch the past few months of WWE and tell me when they've ever seen Rowan look weak. He never gets put down. You're unless right, it's man. Like unless mm-hmm. like three people.
He's looking amazing right now.
He never took pins. He always it was true. Like three people would have to gang up on him. He always looks strong.
Strong thought. That's a great.
Now he's mad. Wow.
Yeah. So I guess maybe Rowan wins this match.
He should.
I mean, absolutely.
It's crazy because they booked him so strong so fast that Roman doesn't even need to win that much anymore.
No.
Like, and that's good. That's a good thing.
He's a star. Yeah.
I'm not saying he does. What I'm trying to say is he's been dominant. Shield, so on and so forth. He doesn't need to lose.
Right.
I mean, he needs to win to stay over, man. Roman should go over. Bliss, Cross, Mandy Rose, Sonya Deville. Fire desire.
Bliss and Cross retain.
I think so too.
Yep.
Which is a bummer because I like the other team, but I think right now Cross and Bliss are.
I agree.
Solid.
AJ Styles and the ever rising Cedric Alexander.
This is the toughest one to call. I think it's gonna be match of the night. I'm gonna say. I think Cedric wins.
Ooh, it looks good. Aesthetically, it looks amazing.
Yeah,
and it's not out of nowhere. And we talked about this before on Raw. AJ doesn't really need to have that. But like this, he can always be in the title like tomorrow. Right. You lose the belt and you're like, oh, you know, he calls so-and-so out.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Right, and I think he's flirting with the world title anyways by coming out and interrupting title
make sure
contract signings.
Okay, so now get to the good ones. Kofi Kingston, Randy Orton.
That's a tough one to call. I would love to have Randy Orton win here. I'm not saying that. Randy Orton should win here storyline wise, but I'm concerned that Kofi does not become a 2-time champ. So if that's going to be the case, please hold the belt as long as you can. But Randy Orton should win here just because he's been in his head for so long.
Orton.
I think it makes sense. Orton wins. I really hope Kofi wins, mm-hmm. but I think Orton's going to win.
Would that be 14 or 13 for him?
14, I think.
Yeah, it's
wow, up there. Yeah. Good God Almighty. And then we have finally Seth versus Braun Strowman. And we'll wrap it up.
Seth.
Yeah.
After he beat Brock, now it's like, okay, he can beat Braun.
Yeah, he could beat that, because Braun couldn't beat Brock.
Correct.
But the thing is, I'm like, man, one, I'm kind of tired of Seth Rollins, not because of his skill set. It's just kind of like, well, I'm not invested in his matches anymore. And two, if Braun wins it, and will it be a new era? No, it just reeks of it being transitional because Braun is so beatable. You know what I'm saying?
Well, because I think it'll be The Fiend that beats Seth Rollins next month.
Looks better aesthetically anyway. Braun's a big dude, man.
Yeah, I don't think The Fiend and Braun is a cool match to see. I think Seth Rollins is, and that's a rematch you could do down the road.
Yeah, guys, we're about to wrap it up right now. It's interesting, though, real quick before I wrap it up, guys. What do you... Does Braun, because I'm you know how I feel about this, but does Bray have to beat Seth Rollins? Does he have to win that title in his first go round? And let's say he doesn't, okay? Because we always talk about him having to win. How can you write that if he doesn't win though? Tell me how without ruining the steam. I never asked you that, Jack. Mm-hmm. What could he do if he doesn't take the title?
Yeah.
What could he do?
I think for the long term he needs to win.
So let's see. But how? So you
to continue being great, I think he needs to win. I think if he does something that gets him DQ'd or whatever.
What about that? Does that hurt him though?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it does.
Because his character is so off the beaten path, it feels like it would be decisive.
Yeah, he needs a decision.
They booked themselves into a corner.
That's what I'm saying, right? He got to win, right?
Yeah, yeah, he has to win. Yeah.
Damn.
And if he doesn't win, that's pretty much like, oh, it's been a nice little summer storyline.
And if it's a DQ, like I said, some kind of like schmoz ending where he doesn't lose or win, it's going to feel like, okay, well, he's not dangerous. He needs to feel dangerous after this match.
Mm-hmm. Man, yeah, that does it for me and my fine, fine co-stars, man. Jack Farmer, tell all the lovely people where they can find.
Well, I'm at Real Jack Farmer on social media, jackcfarmer.com. But again, I said it before, I want to thank Evan for everything. Really is a legend to learn from. And I know we haven't known each other a long time, but just been amazing to know you and amazing to get to work with you on this. I've learned a ton from you.
You're awesome, bro.
Oh, Coco Cena. Coco Cena. What? It's a boy, Flubba Voice.
Yeah.
At Flubba Voice on Twitter.
Yeah.
At Flubito on Instagram and Flubito.com. And also, I just want to say, man, we all known each other for such a few short time, but I've learned so much from you as a person, as a man, as a husband, as a player, and those model moves you show me, how to dress for your other shows, and all that. Man, you a hard 10.
Nah, bro.
I'm just learning so much from you, man. I appreciate that. It's all been love, man. And you actually invited me to the part of the family. You know, I hang out with Barry Mack and Heidi Mack, House of Mack. Shout out to all of them. And, you know, it's been a privilege, man.
I appreciate y'all, man. I appreciate everybody in the chat as well, man. Yo, Marie, Zeno Wild, Charlene, Bosa, Michael, my boy Dylan, Matt, he was the gift. God!
Gift, my gosh.
J Will, Uncle Merv, you, Farmer Nick, DJ Sip. Oh my gosh. Who else?
Bosa,
Tash Nick Moore, Manj, what's really good? I love y'all, man. I miss not. Goodbye and see you later. I'll probably pop around. Y'all can't get rid of me, man. I'm like that, you know what I mean? I'm like that bad penny, man. I always turn up. Love y'all, man. Flobo in the Catbird seat next week. What's that? Broadway? Is it Broadway?
Yeah, it's Boardwalk.
Park Place and Boardwalk next week. Y'all take it easy. Yo.
Thank you so much.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.